In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's talk about suffering. Suffering feels like two things, I think, that's implied by the gospel today. It feels like forever, whatever it is, whatever we're suffering, if it's physical pain, if it's emotional pain, if it's some other spiritual, whatever it is that we're suffering, it feels like it's taking forever, and it feels like it's never going to end. That's the way it feels. And it also feels like God is not with us when we're suffering. It feels like God has abandoned us. That's what it feels like sometimes. Jesus has two responses to that. One, he says, a little while, and you will see me no more. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So first things first. I said suffering feels like it takes forever. It feels like it's never going to end. And sometimes people carry suffering. You know, they have a physical illness. And sometimes they carry it for years and years and years of their life. There are many people that have some kind of malady, that have some kind of sickness, and they really have suffered their entire lives, decades and decades and decades. And that's a heavy cross to bear. And yet Jesus calls that a little while, even if it's an entire lifetime. To Christ, it's just a little while. Why? I think there's a kind of mathematical answer to this. In comparison to eternity, which is how long we're going to be in heaven if we make it. In comparison to eternity, okay, what's the difference between suffering for a day and suffering for a year and suffering for 50 years if the denominator is infinity? Whatever you're going to divide by that is going to turn into nothing. It's going to be a little while in the long run. But when we're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel that way. And he says, a little while and you will see me no more. He doesn't say, this is the really important point is this, Jesus doesn't say, a little while and I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to abandon you. He doesn't say that. He just says you're not going to see me. Those are two different things. It's one thing to not see God, and it's very hard to see God in the middle of suffering. It's very, very difficult to see and to sort of know, to sense that God is near you when you're in pain. But Jesus doesn't say, I'm not near you. He just says, you're not going to see me. In other words, he's there whether you see him or not. Jesus' name, one of his names, one of his titles that's given to him is Emmanuel, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's who Jesus is. Jesus can't abandon you. He is, God is with you. That is who he is. He can't change what he is. And so if Jesus is there in your life, God is with you because that is who Jesus is. Whether you see him or not. Why does it happen? I don't know. He says, you will weep and lament and the world will rejoice. He doesn't say why. I don't know why. I don't know why suffering is a part of life. It is. And I know it is because I've suffered like anybody else. And I also know it is because Jesus says, you will weep and lament. And when you're sad, I think it's a really important point to understand this. When you're sad, when things are off, when you're stressed, when you're suffering, when you're in pain, be sad. It's okay. Don't act like, don't treat it like suffering is this weird thing. Oh my gosh, I'm sad. I have to change. Something has to change. I have to fix this right away. Well, if you can fix it, fix it by all means. I'm not saying like, you know, let things just rot if you can. No, but if sometimes you just can't fix them. And you can't fix them and you're just in pain, okay. Embrace it as a part of life. Don't be confused by it. Sometimes people come to me, Father, I'm really upset. Okay, you're upset. What does that have to do with me? Welcome to life, dude. Be upset. It's not the end of the world. You're not the first person to be upset. You're not the last person that's going to be upset. And this is not the last time you're going to be upset. Be upset, but don't be upset that you're upset. Accept it. You're just doubling your stress when you do that. Okay, this is a time of life that I'm going to suffer. That's okay. Not everything is like a, you know, I was going to say a Disney movie, but even in Disney movies, people get upset and suffer. What do you think, you're better than that? No, it's just a part of life. But your sorrow will turn into joy. He says, when a woman is in labor, this is a pretty intense image, right? What does he compare our suffering to? Labor pains. I've never given birth. I don't expect to. I don't imagine it's pleasant. I hear it's one of the worst pains in the world. That's what he's comparing our human suffering to. He knows it's painful. He knows it's extremely intense sometimes. He knows that the suffering that we endure is gigantic. In other places, he compares it to a cross. Cross is an instrument of torture. He knows what it feels like to suffer. And he says, when a woman is in labor, she's suffering, she's, you know, carrying sorrow. But when the baby's born, she doesn't even remember the suffering for her joy that a child, that a new human being is brought into the world. There's two parts to this. One, it's a kind of promise. At the end of your suffering, something is going to come out of it. It might not be what you want. You know, some people are suffering through college classes or something like that. Some people are suffering through marriage preparation. Some people are suffering in actual, you know, pregnancy, carrying a baby. There's all kinds of different, some people are suffering because they're looking for a job or things like that. At the end of it, Jesus says something good will come of it. I don't know what though, it might not be what I want. At the very least, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a human being is born into the world. At the very least, you will be a new human being by the end of it. And that's something to rejoice over. That you now are a real man, a real woman at the end of that suffering. There's no other way to make a real man other than suffering. There's no way to make a real woman other than suffering. That's how we grow up. That's how we're born into new human beings. But there's also, in addition to the promise, I think there's also a bit of advice. And this is a hard one to accept for some people. He says, when she's delivered of the child, she no longer remembers her anguish for her joy that a child is brought into the world. Yeah, sometimes. But sometimes we make it worse for ourselves. And we hold on to the pain, even though it hurts. And I've noticed this a lot of times in myself and in a lot of the people that I'm close to. They suffer, and then the suffering ends. But they still hold on to it. And they don't let it go. And it's kind of a trauma response. And we just feel like we act like the suffering is still there. We're still going through that. But it's over. It's done. Let it go. Move on. So on the one hand, the baby is born into the world. On the other hand, we cause ourselves more suffering than life ever causes us by remembering, by holding on to things that are past, by nurturing wounds that are supposed to have been healed and long gone. And so I think Jesus is inviting us. You've suffered enough. And if life has taken your suffering away, that's God telling you, okay, this part of your suffering is done. You don't have to keep torturing yourself. It's over. Let God be God. It's not your place to pick your cross. God picks it for you. And don't worry, you're going to suffer again. But you don't do it to yourself. When life gives it to you, then you carry it. And then when life takes it away, you let it go. And I know it's easier to say that than to do it, but at least try to do it with a clear conscience. If God has given you the weight on your heart, God is also the one that takes it away. And so let him take it away. And if he hasn't taken it away yet, If you're still in the middle of that suffering, okay, then bear it patiently. And trust that at the end, there'll be a new human being born into the world, which is what you are and what God wants to make you.